welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to welcome you back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. As always, I hope you're having a great day and thank you for spending some time with us today in God's Word. We are almost done with this series, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Disciples, based off the famous book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, by Dr. Stephen Covey. As we've done in each episode so far, we're looking at each habit in the book, and we're simply asking the question, does this make sense for followers of Jesus? If we do these seven things, will we be more effective in our pursuit of our Savior? And today we are looking at habit number six, what Dr. Covey calls synergy. Synergy. You may be asking the question, as many people do, what is synergy? What does that word mean? Well, technically defined, according to Dr. Stephen Covey, synergy just means the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Or said in another way, there's not a single person on earth who is as smart or capable as a team that's put together. We see many examples of synergy in our world. If you're watching the news right now, maybe one of the most common examples is the president's cabinet. Every president puts together his team of leaders to give him advice. Experts in different fields, experts in different areas. As people have often said, if you are the smartest person in the room, then you're probably in the wrong room. So a president will have a secretary of defense, a secretary of education, if that still exists at the end of the year, a secretary of commerce, secretary of transportation, secretary of state, people who can give him advice as he makes decisions for the country based on their expertise in different areas. It's the same way that presidents have boards of trustees or regents, or corporations will have boards that really kind of direct the CEO of the corporation. That's synergy. It's the idea that no person is as smart or capable as a team. You even see it when you light a fire. If you notice, the coals that stay together, they're the hottest. If a coal gets removed from the fire, it quickly cools and it's no longer useful. You know, Dr. Covey makes the point that insecure people think that all reality should be amenable to their paradigms. Said in another way, if you think your way is right, if you're confident you're correct, you shouldn't be intimidated to engage with other ideas. It's the people who are unwilling to engage with a different perception that really should not be confident in their position. Or as Dr. Covey says, these are people who are insecure. And if you look back at the history of countries, and especially our country, there are many examples of synergy. I'll just mention a few examples. Wilbur and Orville Wright, the Wright brothers, the ones that we attribute really to the advent of the airplane. Wilbur Wright said before his death, "Nearly everything that was done in our lives has been the result of conversations, suggestions, and discussions between the two of us." You know, they were brothers. They didn't agree on everything. They actually disagreed on how an airplane should look, how it should be built, how it should fly. But the reason that piece of equipment actually got off the ground was because they put all of their ideas together. They built on each other's strengths. Here are two names that may not be as familiar to you, Larry Page and Sergey Brin. Sergey Brin was a young student who had been studying computer science at Stanford University for 2 years. Then he was asked by the university to give orientation to new students, kind of walk them around and help them find their way. That's where he met Larry Page. And neither Larry Page nor Sergey Brin liked each other the first time they met each other. They kind of rubbed each other the wrong way. They had different personalities. They had different ideas specifically about technology. Later on, as technology was developing and ideas were developing for the internet, Larry Page and Sergey Brin had two different ideas about how the internet should work. Larry Page said that on a search engine, you should be able to type in a keyword and then it would pop up the number of times that word appeared with links back to specific websites. Sergey Brin said, nah, let's not use words like that. Let's use pictures and not links. Well, the two of them started a company together called Backrub with the idea that you would link back to the keyword that people originally typed in. But then the company named Backrub no longer existed. It became a company called Google, a much more well-known company. And Google, if you notice, when you get on Google as a search engine, you notice that it is a mixture of links and words and pictures. It was a combination of both of their perceptions. Google was founded by two guys with different perceptions, ideas, and personalities. That's what we like to call synergy. Now, our question in this series is, what about for disciples of Jesus? How does the New Testament prioritize synergy? How does the New Testament describe the idea that the whole is greater than all the parts? That no one is as smart or capable as a team that is working together? Well, let me mention just a few passages that come to my mind. What about this one? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 14 through 20. Paul said, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. As it is, there are many parts, but there is one body." I think it's interesting that Paul says that God has arranged the parts in the body just as He wanted them to be. You know, what does that mean? Well, I think it means that God wants us to have some spiritual gifts, and He wants us not to have some spiritual gifts. And that begs the question, why would God want us not to be gifted in some areas? Well, maybe because He knows us better than we do. Maybe He knows that if we had that gift, we would be full of pride. Maybe He knows that because we don't have that gift and someone else does, it creates wonderful variety, great diversity in the body of Christ. You know, that's when people feel like they aren't important to the body, when they feel like they can't serve. But because everyone has different gifts, and because they all play different roles and parts, everyone can be important to the body. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 6, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Paul says that we all have different gifts. You know, how do you know what your gift is? Maybe through trial and error, through practice, through courage. How can you help others recognize their gift? Well, you constantly encourage them. You seek opportunities for them to use their gift. You know, Paul reminded the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 that it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Diversity in the body of Christ leads to unity and maturity. And it's God who defines the roles, and it's God who equips the people to fill them. I mean, have you ever thought about the different professions and backgrounds of the 12 apostles? Andrew, Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. Philip, Nathaniel, we don't know. Matthew, I would say he was in the IRS. He was a tax collector. Bartholomew and Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, we still don't know. Simon the Zealot, well, he was a political anarchist. He wanted to overthrow Rome, which was quite unusual to be on the same team with Matthew, who was a man who was very faithful to Rome, collecting Rome's taxes. Judas, somewhat unknown. We do know he was a thief. Pretty good guess. He was probably in insurance. But they all had different gifts. They all had different roles. And these were the people that Jesus called to be his 12 apostles. Synergy. Diversity. No one is as smart as a team that's put together. The Lord would tell the apostles as he was ascending back to heaven, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Those were very different environments. They had very different customs, very different backgrounds. Judea was nothing like Samaria, and Jerusalem would be nothing like the ends of the earth. But that's because the church would continue to grow from synergy, from variety, from God's people being a team. As always, thank you for spending your time with us today here at Road Talk. Keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. God bless.